My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He's a former federal prosecutor who led the successful prosecution of the blind sheikh, Omar Abdelrahman, and others for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and plots to attack other prominent New York City landmarks. He is now a columnist and a contributing editor for National Review. His most recent piece is in response to reports that former FBI Director James Comey wrote a memo following a February meeting with President Trump outlining Trump's urging of Comey to let go of an investigation into former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn. And Andy, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
The charge we're hearing from Democrats and many in the media in response to this, and even a couple of Republicans, is that this is tantamount to obstruction of justice. What we have right now is sources reading parts of this memo to reporters that Trump hoped Comey could see his way clear to letting Flynn go and that he was a good guy. But based on your knowledge of the law, what is actually needed to prosecute anything on obstruction of justice?
Well, to begin with, I guess, what I didn't address in my column is you'd have a fairly significant constitutional issue about whether since the president runs the executive branch and is the superior of the FBI director, it would be all right, even if even if there was political freight to it, for a president to tell an FBI director to drop a case. I don't know that proposition's ever been tested before, but what I think would corrupt, and corrupt is the word we're looking for here. The corruption is the heart of obstruction of justice. The person has to act intentionally, knowing that what he's doing is wrong, and intend to subvert the truth-seeking process. So the corruption, I think, that would be involved, Greg, would be if you were to try to pressure the FBI to drop an investigation, and then, kind of rig that result, and then try to use it to suggest that the person had been exonerated when you knew that you had actually rigged the result and not allowed the FBI to do an investigation. To me, that would be corruption in the nature of obstruction of justice. I don't think we're close to being there yet, because even though I am sure that Director Comey, or then Director Comey, must have found the conversation with President Trump to be awkward and inappropriate, I don't think there's anything corrupt about it. What Trump evidently said, and by the way, the most important thing about obstruction of justice is context, and we don't really have the context here. We have one statement that's mined out of what must be a larger memo. But what Trump basically said is he hoped that Comey would see his way clear to dropping the case. In other words, he didn't take the decision away from Comey. He left it in Comey's judgment, and he basically vouched for Flynn's character. But obviously Comey, who is a highly decorated, highly experienced former prosecutor and FBI director, and who well knows what obstruction of justice is, he clearly didn't feel like he had been obstructed. If he had, I'm certain he would have resigned and then, gone up and down the chain of command and perhaps to Congress to report why he was resigning. Instead, he ended the conversation. He did write the memo, but the investigation of Flynn continues. And in fact, we now hear that there's a grand jury in Virginia. So he must not have perceived that he'd been obstructed. And obviously they weren't obstructed because they're proceeding with the investigation.
Well, how does the firing play into this? Obviously, if this was an isolated incident and nothing happened with the investigation, it would be pretty small of a factor, although not necessarily appropriate for the president to do that. But in light of what we know has happened since this conversation, if it happened, how does that complicate things?
Well, it complicates things because any additional piece of information or evidence that you could point to as a potential instance of corruption lends some fuel to this idea of obstruction. So Democrats will say that Trump fired Comey because of the Flynn investigation and because of the fact that it hadn't been closed down, and he did it as a signal to the FBI and the Justice Department that he doesn't want Flynn proceeded against, and that'll be their interpretation of it. The reason I think that's a loser, even though I understand why they're making the argument, is that the investigation is continuing, and it's evident that there's a lot more, you know, FBI directors don't run cases. There's a lot more to the relationship between the president and the FBI director than a single criminal case, even against a one-time aide of Trump's in the administration. And there could be a million reasons why the president might want to fire the FBI director, which is under circumstances where the president doesn't need any reason at all. I think it's very hard to make the case that it's the Flynn situation that prompted the firing.
We're talking with Andrew C. McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, and also now with National Review. Andy, one of the major points of your piece was that selective outrage is nothing new in Washington, but it seems to potentially be reaching a fevered pitch, given the fact that Democrats saw nothing wrong with Barack Obama in public interviews saying Hillary Clinton did nothing to warrant being indicted for what she did with her private server and the classified emails and so forth. But they're pulling their hair out over this one. So talk about the significance of the double standard as you see it.
Well, I think in many ways, the Obama situation, or at least in a few ways, the Obama situation with Hillary Clinton is worse than what we've heard about here. What Obama did was make very public statement, which obviously is a statement to his subordinates as well as to everyone else, that he didn't want Mrs. Clinton prosecuted, didn't think she should be prosecuted, and he articulated a legal theory for why she shouldn't be prosecuted, this claim that she wasn't trying to harm the United States and that her classified emails, while they exhibited carelessness on her part, were really a small part of a much larger overall picture and had been exaggerated out of proportion. And lo and behold, 3 months later, when Director Comey announced his view that Mrs. Clinton shouldn't be prosecuted, he adopted precisely the legal reasoning that Obama had announced 3 months before. So in the Hillary Clinton instance, we have the president indicating that he wanted the case dropped, giving a theory for it, having his subordinates actually drop the case and use the very theory that he argued. Whereas in the matter of Trump, the worst factor in the Trump matter is it's a one-on-one meeting with Comey. So the atmospheric there is worse. But what Trump communicated was really nothing more than what Obama did, which is like he'd like to see the case go away. And in the Trump Comey instance, the case hasn't gone away. The FBI continues to investigate it, whereas in the Hillary Clinton instance, it precisely went away.
About 3 years ago, Andy, you wrote the book called Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. And at the time, you pointed out there's the legal side of impeachment and there's the political side of impeachment. Ultimately, if there's no political will for it, it doesn't matter what legal arguments you necessarily have. As you watch from a political standpoint right now, obviously nothing's going to happen unless Republicans want it to happen, given their majorities in the House and Senate. But do you sense that the pressure is getting to them over these last few weeks with some of these stories, or are they sensing that a lot of this is being blown out of proportion?
Well, I think both. I think they think that it's being blown out of proportion. That the, you know, look, the people on the left and the base of the Democratic Party is the hard left. You know, the base of the party that is the, you know, the donor base and the activist base is much more left of center than rank and file Democrats across the country. And they have been pushing from before Trump got into office at the idea of removing him. I mean, before he got to office, they even, you know, tried to get the Electoral College not to install him. So, I think they've both tried to lay the groundwork for getting him impeached at some point if they could. But I think more importantly, in the long term, what they're looking at is trying to make it impossible for him to govern so that the parts of his agenda, to the extent they object to them, can't be implemented. And also make it look like his government, and he's helping them with this, by the way, make him look like his government is so chaotic and so in over its head that it helps their electoral prospects in 2018 and 2020. So I think there's a political program along these lines that's going on. Republicans historically are not nearly as disciplined as Democrats in terms of staying together. So there's always going to be a greater chance that a Republican president could be impeached than that a Democrat could, because you can't impeach a president without support across partisan lines. And the chances of Republicans jumping on board with Democrats are always better than the other way around. But I don't see anything at this point. I see the fervor to want to get a president impeached, but I don't see any grounds for doing it. And given what the Republican numbers are at the moment, I don't see any prospect of it.
Andy, a lot to deal with. Thanks very much for helping us distill it.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Andrew McCarthy is a former federal prosecutor. He is now a columnist and contributing editor for National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.